when Trump versus Clinton or Hillary versus Donald blows up a business deal. From Marketplace, I'm David Brancaccio. First to our occasional series about what this intense election is doing for or doing to our economy. This morning, a story of business deals speeded up and business deals destroyed by political uncertainty and political polarization. One example, the seed money for innovation, that is venture capital. Paul Kedrowski is co-founder and managing partner at SK Ventures. This is an early stage venture fund based in San Diego. Paul, thank you for connecting.
Great to be here.
So I was talking to an architect in New York City. He told me he's seeing some business on hold, he thinks, because people want to see how the election plays out. What are you seeing in your line of work?
The thing that I point to, there's been this sudden wave of initial public offerings of IPOs. And for a long time, that wasn't really happening. The term of art is the IPO window was closed. And all of a sudden, the IPO window has sort of become yanking open, and a whole bunch of IPOs have gone through the crack. And an awful lot of that has to do with nervousness about what's going to happen in equity markets post-November, because equity markets hate uncertainty. So there's this general fear that if you don't get the IPOs into the public markets now, who knows when it may be. It may be 6 months, it may be a year, it may be longer.
That's an interesting perverse effect. In other words, a surge now because of the sense of uncertainty later. Now, of course, there's always some uncertainty over elections, but you're feeling it more this time around?
Oh, it's much more dramatic this time, because it's not as if it's sort of, you know, a little bit to the left or a little bit to the right. There's this feeling like it's kind of a polar swing, that we could be seeing a president come in who's actively much more hostile towards immigration, or, for example, wants to make changes in some of the ways the venture capital industry has been structured. There's lots of talk about changing taxation with respect to venture capital. These are seismic changes. They really move around the tectonic plates of the way we innovate in this country, with such a high percentage of immigrant founders involved in some of the largest, most valuable companies, Google and others. In America, you think about the value creation that goes away and the impact that has, not just on wealth creation for individuals who work for those companies, but for you and I who hold stock in those companies, you know, either directly or through pension funds or retirement funds. So that's not something that changes in January. As a matter of fact, the difference has become much more dramatic over the next 2 and 3 years.
The topic at hand here is about policy uncertainty at this moment in history ahead of this particular election. But what's this I hear about disagreements over the election getting in the way of deals? I understand you've witnessed some acrimony.
Oh, it's like nothing I've ever seen before. You know, there's active hostility, and I've actually seen two deals, I guess two and a half, because we've got another one that's kind of in mid-argument stage, that have come apart. Two deals, when I say, you know, investors who can't reach agreement on things that have nothing to do with the deal. They're actively hostile towards each other with respect to what's happening in political markets, and as a result, having a breakdown of the discussion about how to fund a young company. And I can't remember that happening in my 20-plus years in this business, and that's entirely a function of this completely, you know, bizarre election. And it's at first, it's sort of funny, and you think, oh my goodness, you know, we're having a debate about politics. This is, I've never seen us do this before in a venture discussion. And then you realize it's sort of tragic, because the consequences are very real for some young entrepreneurs.
Paul Kedrowski is a VC. He's co-founder and managing partner at SK Ventures. He spoke to us from outside San Diego, California. Paul, thank you for this.
Thanks, David.
We continue to gather these stories. We'd like to hear your accounts of business deals that are caught up in Trump versus Clinton versus Johnson versus Stein. Go to marketplace.org and click the Mentioned on Air tab and tell us all about it. Let's check the markets. The 100-share index in London is up 1%, with the British currency down and so many goods imported. The Bank of England is now worried about both inflation and stimulating the economy at the same time. The Dow future is up 73 points, 0.4%. S&P and NASDAQ futures are up more than 0.5%. Later this morning, Social Security recipients will learn what the increase will be for the coming year. It's the annual cost of living adjustment, the COLA. Experts predict it'll be tiny, half of 1% or less. That's like maybe $7 a month before taxes. Marketplace's Adam Allington has been looking into this. Adam?
This cost of living adjustment affects more than 70 million people, about 1 in 5 Americans. The formula is designed to make sure that inflation doesn't eat into the purchasing power of all these people. And in a nutshell, inflation's been low, historically low, in fact. Consumer prices have not gone up by much. Here we're talking about things like the cost of food, clothing, the price of gas we pay at the pump, And the upshot is that for the last 5 years, COLAs have been extremely low or non-existent. All have been less than 2%, and they've been zero three times since 2009.
Social Security benefits amount to, on average, I just looked it up, $1,350 per month. That is not a fortune to live on.
That's right. And don't forget, for a quarter of beneficiaries, 65 and older, Social Security makes up 90% or more of their income. That's why organizations like AARP say COLAs dramatically understate the cost of living for the elderly, since it bases its calculation on the spending of families who make most of their income from wages. The formula excludes households whose main sources of income are pensions and Social Security, and the spending habits of these families are much different than wage earners. It's also worth noting that women make up 57% of Social Security recipients, so they're more likely to be affected by flat increases.
Adam, thank you. Now, at some point, supply and demand tips into price gouging. Thailand is several days into its year of mourning after the death of the king, so people will be wearing a lot of black until next fall. Black is selling out and prices are rising. Now there's word government inspectors are out in force to be sure price spikes for black clothes in Thailand don't get out of hand. Our producers are Justin Ho, Katie Long, and Christopher Olin. The engineer, Charlton Thorpe. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.